Mormon Christian greetings to each one of you. Thanks for being here tonight. Really looking forward to this evening. And I don't think the brothers in the pulpit need too much introduction, but I will say their names anyway if I can remember them. On my left, your right, Brother Kurt Frank, and on my right, your left, Brother Steve Ringer. We welcome them this evening. They are two of the three assisting elders, as you know, in this whole process of seeking local leadership here in Indianapolis. So the schedule for tonight, I might just mention it. Kurt will have the opening prayer, and then we'll have a shortened little message for us. Following that, Brother Steve will announce the results of the surveys that you all filled out, and then we'll proceed with a confirmation ballot from that point. So it's wonderful to be at this point and just solicit your prayers. May the Spirit be with us all through the evening. Brother Kurt will have the opening prayer. Yeah.
Let's kneel together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we turn to Thee in this evening. We are grateful, Lord, for the blessing to be able to gather together around Thy Word in this evening. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the brothers and sisters and the friends of the truth that gather here on a week-by-week basis, and for the many interactions that they would have even throughout the week, Lord, and for the light and the example that they can be in this community. For we recognize, Lord, that Thou hast called us to labor in Thy vineyard here upon this earth, and we just pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou will continue to grant us the grace and the understanding, Lord, that we can do so in a way that is pleasing and that is honorable to Thy high and Thy holy name. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the brothers that labor here on the pulpit. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that Thou will continue to bless them, that they could continue to feel Thy closeness and Thy nearness. We thank Thee, Lord, for the leadership and that our Brother Wayne has given unto this Indianapolis congregation. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would bless him for his labors of love. And yet we know, Lord, there comes a time when that mantle needs to be passed. And we're thankful, Heavenly Father, that when we can turn to Thee and when we can ask and the church to be prayerful and can lay it upon the heart of the church and can feel, Lord, that we have received direction. And so we are thankful, Lord, for all these things. And yet we know, Heavenly Father, that all these work together need to work together yet for Thy purpose. And each and every time we come together, Lord, around Thy Word, we are reminded of that purpose. And we just ask Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou will continue to speak to us, and that our hearts would be open, and that we're willing to listen, and then we're willing to apply, and then we're willing, Heavenly Father, to be the lights and examples that Thou would have us to be. And so we ask Thee to come into our midst. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would grant the presence of Thy Holy Spirit, that our hearts could be open and receptive to it, and that Thou would teach us, is our prayer, and in through Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. As we considered the evening here, as Brother Wayne shared, we're going to We're going to shorten up the service here a little bit. Brother Steve had asked that I would spend some time on the topic of unity, and so let's look to Ephesians chapter 4. Kind of surprising when I looked into the topic. It's mentioned in the Bible 3 times, but I don't think that means it's any less important. I think it's something that we need to consider, and we will touch on all three of those references here this evening. The Apostle Paul writes here to the Ephesian people, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So we look in here as the Apostle Paul opens here. He speaks of his dedication or his view of Christ and how he expressed his relationship to Christ was that he was a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a term that does not bring about really in the sense of human understanding something that is comfortable. But to the Apostle Paul, it was comfortable. To the Apostle Paul, it is something that he appreciated and felt compelled to even express it that way. And he says that I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And to me, I had always thought a vocation is that simply a job. And I got to thinking about that. I looked into it, and it is so much more than a job. It's a calling. It is the Latin word there was voice. And so as the Apostle Paul spoke here, He says, I want you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called, for wherewith you were called. And so that comes to the heart of each and every one of us, that we understand. And then he goes on to define that even further of that calling. And who is that? Who is the one who called us? And every one of us are going to say that it was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We would not want to associate the calling with anyone else beside Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He goes on to say, he says, there's one body, one spirit, as ye are called in one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And so he goes down the line there, and he speaks of this singleness of the voice. And that is God, and he talks of the singleness of your hope, singleness of your faith, the singleness of your baptism, one God who is above all of us. And so if we go back to this, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And he asks us to consider what I believe is the Lord's desire, that he would call unto himself a people. He would call unto himself a following. And through the scripture, he defines that by saying that, asking us to be holy, asking us to be truly devoted and wholly devoted. And so all of this, loved ones, comes to a point in which we recognize the importance of unity. And so it's unity, loved ones, in the calling of one God. Sometimes we say, well, what does it really mean? And loved ones, it's up to us to define what that is. God wants us to define that. God wants us to define, for what purpose are you called? For what hope are you called? To what goal are you called? And I think, loved ones, when we stop and we think about that, and I consider that as we look at, here are the apostles who are carrying the plan of salvation to the first church. And it is for the purpose of sharing this gospel, this good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, in forgiveness and faith in the shed blood that can set us free from the sin that does so easily beset us. Why it is that today there's probably, last count, 40 to 50,000 different denominations. I don't know. But that's the direction it continues to go. It started out as one church. And maybe, and I'm sure, loved ones, that's all part of God's design. But we also have to recognize that here is one of the apostles who is saying, be careful and strive to stay close to the calling for which you are called. Stay close to the God who called you and wants you to walk and to live and to labor in this life. He goes on to say, and he gave some apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so he kind of has set an order by which affects us all, because as Brother Wayne had labored to lead and to guide the church for the purpose of drawing together, and as you would pull together as a body of believers, and that we would walk together even as a denomination. Now that mantle is going to be passed down. And as it is, loved ones, the responsibility goes with it, but also that not only to the brother that it's passed to, but it's also passed, the responsibility is also passed on to the church. And it's a responsibility that all of us carry. There's not a one of us that are any less accountable. And it's again for this purpose that we read of in the scripture, that we come together, that we draw closer to God's people. We draw closer to the model of the mind of Christ, the body of Christ, that is not totally laid out in the scripture. It's laid out in the Word of God. And when that is laid out, loved ones, in the Word of God, then we come together and we search the scriptures, and we come, and every time we gather together, we are asking the Lord and we are seeking from Him to help, to define us, to draw us unto Him, to draw us to that likeness where He wants us, and to understand, and I think we all do, because we all deal with it, that there is an enemy who wants it to go the other direction. Thankfully, for the grace of God, that we can do battle with an enemy who is very, very, as it speaks here, it speaks of the wiles of the devil. We spent some time in our forums here Monday and Tuesday, and Brother Ted Witzig from Morton spent some time sharing with us about what that really means, the wiles of the devil, the trickiness, the craftiness, the things that he would use to draw us away. And I think, loved ones, we all recognize it. But we also have to understand and grasp that we are bombarded with it, and yet we are so blessed to be able to have the scripture that lays it out so very, very clearly, I believe, how he would have us to walk. The last reference, actually it's the first reference, is found in Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The Lord commanded the blessing of life evermore. That's where he sent his son. There in the land of Israel. And we're thankful aren't we? That God recognizes, he sees unity as something that is pleasing, something that is beautiful, something that he can bless and wants to bless. And I hope, loved ones, as we think of that and of our responsibility in all of that, that we can labor together, that we can uphold the arms of those that lead us through the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, that all of us, our lives, can glorify the Lord, can glorify His Word, as God so many times throughout the Scripture, He just wanted His people to hear Him. And when we hear Him, and when we truly give ourselves and focus on following those directives of the Scripture, we glorify Him even more, and we can be lights and examples in the world in which we live.
I certainly appreciate the teachings that we've had this evening, and a couple comments I might have. The topic unity was not necessarily picked for your church. It's a good reminder for all of us, so I just encourage you there. But in Psalm 133, if you look, it says Song of Degrees. You see that in the little subheading? There were, I think there were 15 psalms that they would go through when they were moving going to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage that they would do three times a year. And so you can imagine people coming from up, you know, by Sea of Galilee and all over, and coming into Jerusalem from all walks of life and different occupations, and coming to for a common purpose to worship at Jerusalem. So I can see a little correlation with Indy Church. You've got people from all over coming to this church and being part of this fellowship. And it's interesting that part of the reminder, they would sing these songs or these psalms during their journey. And so part of that reminder was for them to be in unity and love one another. And if you go back to Ephesus, Paul spent probably 3 years or so pleading with them and encouraging them and exhorting them to be the people that they needed to be, because Ephesus was a big area, big metropolitan area that was very influential. Many people came and went through Ephesus, and so they had the potential to really, really take the gospel a lot of places. And so I see another correlation to your church here at Indy as well. You're in the hub of Indiana and a city, and you have an opportunity to reach and to meet and to impact a lot of people. So I guess our encouragement would be that we beseech you to be all you can be for Christ and for His and in His work, and be the light and example. And, you know, I believe you are, but it just, like all of us, we need that encouragement to even maybe reach a higher ground or reach a higher level than we already are at. So thankful for the word, and trust that God will bless the word. And I forgot my notes for the second part, so let me get them. We'll transition now into the Elder Cert's survey results. I'm just thankful to be here tonight in the rush of coming from work and changing, and from my work clothes into my church clothes. I failed to transfer my wallet, and fortunately my wife brought her purse, or I would still be washing dishes tonight at the restaurant. But fortunately she had her credit card with her, so we were able to pay for our dinner. But I want to thank you for your patience as we've gone through this process of seeking leadership here transition of leadership here at Indy Church. It's been a real peaceful process, and it's been a joy to work together on that. But we're thankful that God has given us clear direction. There's a good verse, Philippians 4:19, one that I really appreciate greatly. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And he has done that for us and for you here at Indy Church. So a little bit about who reviewed the survey results. As you know, Brothers Wayne, Brother Kurt, Brother Steve Gutwein, and myself were involved in the process of meeting together, doing some of the interviews, and going through the ballots and the surveys. And we, on Thursday, January 12th, had a phone conference and referenced some documentation through emails, which is kind of handy. And so we looked at the results, and what did we learn? Well, we learned over 80% of you participated, which we were real thankful for that level of support. There was overwhelming support for Brother Ken and Sister Lynn to take this position. Overwhelming. More than enough support to justify moving ahead. It really was unquestionably clear. And we're thankful for that. There were, appreciated the comments. There were a number of surveys that had comments. Some that were they were all very supportive of leadership and very thankful for leadership. Very thankful for the leadership of Brother Wayne in the past. Thankful for the ministers that they have. There were some suggestions and some concerns that were expressed, and those will be addressed as time would open the way for that. But all in all, it was just a very positive experience as we read through the comments and shared those and saw the support for Brother Ken and Sister Lynn. We're going to do a confirmation or an affirmation ballot at this time. And so I would ask the ushers to hand out blank sheets of paper. And I would encourage those of you who are members to write a yes if you can support Brother Ken and Sister Lynn in this position for elder. And also, if you cannot, you can write a no. If there's room to write some comments, if you feel the need to do so. So while they're passing that out, maybe we can sing a hymn together. And it might be good to sing number 33 in the Zion's Harp, Fellowship of Hearts, as we look forward to collecting the ballots. Thank you for that beautiful singing. It was nice to be in there and counting the ballots with the background of the beautiful music. We are really excited to share that it's unanimous support. That's unusual to have 100% say yes. Brother Ken and Sister Lynn, I know this is a humbling time. I still remember the time when we did our confirmation vote for Myra and I. Still remember exactly where I was sitting in the church and feel pretty much the same feelings I felt at that time. And they had to struggle a little bit because they had to provide the results and it wasn't unanimous. So they had to say nearly unanimous. Doesn't sound quite as good as unanimous, but it's good to have this good of support. And so I encourage you during this time, this is just a step in the process. As you know, Brother Ken will be taken to be interviewed at the Bloomington, Illinois conference probably on March 9th. That'd be the Thursday if I have the date right of this year. So in the meantime, it's a cleansing process. I guarantee you that. There's an enemy that would like to disrupt the unity, the passion, just like to disrupt the process. He doesn't like smooth transitions. He likes to get in there and create havoc. But we have a God that's bigger than him. We have the Holy Spirit who is much more mighty. And so I encourage you as a congregation to be engaged and sincere and intercessory, passionate prayer for this transition. I know you have already, but I'm asking you to pick it up during this time period. Pray that their hearts would be protected. Pray that your hearts would be guarded as well. It's a time when all of a sudden Indy is a little bit in the spotlight, if you will. Rightly or wrongly, it's just the way it is. And so I'd encourage you to be what Christ has called you to be, to reflect Him each individually. But again, Sister Lynn, continue to reflect Him as you have. And it's going to be a blessing to see that mantle transfer. I don't know, it would be good for all of us in this room to sense the need for prayer and to feel the prayers of the church. Myra and I often are lifted up, and I can testify these brothers would say the same. During difficult times and challenging times, we just feel when we should be totally unraveled, somehow God is lifting us up and encouraging us. And then we know that somebody is engaged in praying. There's some verses here I'd like to read. It says, what has God called us to do? Our job is to pray, to encourage, to support. Here we have in Colossians 4, 2 through 4, continue in prayer and watch, and the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us. This is Paul talking to the church at Colossae, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And Paul was in bonds, for which also I'm in bonds, that I may make it manifest, that I make it clear as I ought to speak. And then 2 Thessalonians 3, 1, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So there's so many verses in prayer, so I just encourage you to be about intercessory prayer, not only for our brother Ken and Sister Lynn, but for the other ministers as well, and for each of you, that each of you can really work together in harmony, in sync, glorifying God. There's a verse in 3 John 4, says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. And that's a beautiful picture of a father looking at his children, but it's also a church leadership looking at those in the church as they respond and they live the message. They live godly, holy, powerful lives. That's such a joy for leadership. So we've already read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, and God does provide gifts for His church, and often those gifts are people. And I'm thankful for the leadership that Brother Wayne has brought here, as well as others in the past, but also now with Brother Ken, Sister Lynn, Lord willing, that would develop into moving from ordained deacon to the elder position. And again, I don't think I could overemphasize the importance to be prayerful. So I'll see if any of the other brothers have any comments, but then we'll close the evening. Again, if you do have questions, any of us assisting elders would be glad to answer them, or Brother Wayne, you could contact him. So we would be willing and thankful to answer any questions you might have. But again, we'll be prayerful for Brother Ken, Sister Lynn. We've been praying for each of the other ministers or wives as well. And just thankful for the Indy Church. It's such a blessing to be part of this process.
They had me on the agenda for the closing prayer, so we'll do that. But before we do that, just a couple of comments. I am very thankful this evening, as you might imagine, Not because this has been a burden, not at all. I know, and you know, this church has loved me and cared for me more than, way more than I deserve. You also know that in the last 5 years or so, the Brother Ken's been ordained deacon. You had an elder here, and I've really appreciated that. What I think you will benefit even more from is just the connection to the national church. It's not possible if you had the right person. I didn't do a very good job, I know, of connecting. You can't really replace going to the elder body in the two times they meet a year very well unless you've been there. We talked about it at the forums a little this time, and there was a brother that said, you know, I wish, and I've told this church before, I wish each of you could attend an elder conference and preach a sermon. That would change perspectives a little. But there was a brother there at the forums that said, maybe we should just have a glass wall and we could at least have people look in and see. But it's an experience, Brother Ken, that I know you will appreciate, and it will just make that connection so much better. So again, I just say thanks for your love and your understanding, and you've been way kinder to me than have been. It's not over yet, Brother Steve said. I just endorse everything he said. You need to be prayerful. We all need to be prayerful. I'm anticipating difficulty, but it is a process, and they're interviewed by the entire elder body. So be prayerful for that. And then, of course, the final step would be, Lord willing, that we look forward to would be an ordination service of some sort. And we haven't even planned that yet, but we will talk about that as well. So thanks, and God bless you all. Let's kneel together in prayer. Dear God, I don't have the words to express what I feel, that in this church there is a peace and a joy, and there is a prayer that this transition can be completed here in March or shortly after, and that they, for the first time, will have the resident elder in Indianapolis. We thank Thee, dear God. We praise Thee. It isn't so much about an individual, although it's so important. It's about the opportunity for a church to grow and flourish, about the opportunity to share the living hope that's in the hearts of everyone that's here. I think often of the 1 Corinthians 12 when it talks about the body and all the parts, and how important every single part is. How no one in this church who is a believer can say they are not needed. They're all needed. And no one can say they don't need others. We got to work together. And I'm thankful, Father, for the love that's here for each other and for others, for all that come and all that go, whether it be off the streets or from other churches of our denomination. Bless them. Continue that love. Continue that the dedication would be our prayer tonight. May we just say an extra special prayer, each of us, as we go to bed tonight, that we can each do our part to further God's work on this earth. That's what it's all about. And we ask, Father, that Thy love would shine so bright and so strong that those who may have rejected the opportunity to serve Thee, or that are hesitant on the sidelines or have bitterness for whatever reason in their heart, or maybe just hesitancy, that would break whatever barrier needs to be broken, then more and more could come and learn to know of Thee. We are thankful for the many couples that are here. We are thankful for the singles that are here. We are thankful for the many children that are here. They're the future, we know, of the church. So soon those children grow into young adults, and then adults, and then older adults, and then another generation passes. So bless the children. We ask, there are many other things we could ask for, Father, but we just say and ask again that Thou would accept our praise, our thanks. Our hearts are warm tonight, and we thank Thee for this. Dismiss us with Thy blessing, would be our prayer. And bless the brothers who traveled to be here tonight to share and have spent some hours in this endeavor, and add what is needful to our prayer. Forgive us, O Lord, where in any way we've made mistakes. I've made many over the years, and Thou dost know that. Thou art a forgiving God, and so we pray for all of us where we come short, that Thou might be forgiving. Again, we pray, dismiss us with Thy blessing. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Bring our love and greetings from our Bluffton North Church.
And I too want to share the love and greetings of La Crosse Church with each of you here.
And if there would be any, well, I bring greetings from Champaign, but there would be any other greetings that should be expressed this evening, this would be opportunity. If not, we again thank each of you for coming. God bless you all.